Hi, and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Bible Reading Plan Podcast. My name is Nathan King, and today is Thursday, December 23rd. Right now, we are going through our Advent devotional guide, which is based on the book of Jeremiah. Each day during the series, we will be reading a portion of the book of Jeremiah, and you'll also hear my thoughts on the passages read aloud from the Advent guide. Our scripture for today comes from Jeremiah 32, verses 16 to the end. So if you have your copy of scripture, let's begin. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. After I had given the deed of purchase to Baruch, son of Neriah, I prayed to the Lord, saying, "Ah, Lord God, it is you who made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. You show steadfast love to the thousandth generation, but repay the guilt of parents into the laps of their children after them, O great and mighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts. Great in counsel and mighty indeed, whose eyes are open to all the ways of mortals, rewarding all according to their ways and according to the fruit of their doings. You showed signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, and to this day in Israel and among all humankind, and all have made yourself a name that continues to this very day. You brought your people, Israel, out of the land of Egypt with signs and wonders, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, and with great terror, and you gave them this land which you swore to their ancestors to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they entered it and took possession of it, but they did not obey your voice or follow your law. Of all you commanded them to do, they did nothing. Therefore, you have made all of these disasters come upon them. See, the siege ramps have been cast up against the city to take it, and the city, faced with sword, famine, and pestilence, has been given into the hands of the Chaldeans, who are fighting against it. What you spoke has happened, as yourself can see. Yet you, O Lord God, have said to me, 'Buy the field for money and get witnesses,' though the city has been given into the hands of the Chaldeans." The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, "See, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Therefore, thus says the Lord, I'm going to give the city into the hands of the Chaldeans and into the hand of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, and he shall take it. The Chaldeans who are fighting against this city shall come, set it on fire, and burn it, with the houses on whose roofs offerings have been made to Baal and libations have been poured out to other gods, to provoke me to anger. For the people of Israel and the people of Judah have done nothing but evil in my sight from their youth. The people of Israel have done nothing but provoke me to anger by the work of their hands, says the Lord. This city has aroused my anger and wrath from the day it was built until this day, so that I will remove it from my sight, because of all the evil of the people of Israel and the people of Judah that they did to provoke me to anger. They, their kings and their officials, their priests and their prophets, the citizens of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They have turned their backs to me, not their faces. Though I have taught them persistently, they would not listen and accept correction. They set up their abominations in the house that bears my name and defiled it. They built the high places of Baal in the valley of the son of Hinnom to offer up their sons and daughters to Molech, though I did not command them, nor did it enter my mind that they should do this abomination, causing Judah to sin. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord, God of Israel, concerning this city of which you say, it is being given into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. See, I'm going to gather them from all the lands to which I drove them in my anger and my wrath and in great indignation. I will bring them back to this place, and I will settle them in safety. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me for all time, for their own good and the good of their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them, never to draw back from doing good to them, and I will put the fear of me in their hearts, so that they may not turn from me. I will rejoice in doing good to them, and I will plant them in this land in faithfulness with all my heart and all my soul. For thus says the Lord, just as I have brought all this great disaster upon this people, so I will bring upon them all the good fortune that I now promise them. Fields shall be bought for money, and deeds shall be signed and sealed and witnessed in the land of Benjamin, in the places around Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, of the hill country, of the Shephelah and of the Negeb, for I will restore their fortunes, says the Lord. The final 28 verses in Jeremiah 32 offer a reality about God that stays true to this day. Judah's history has been shrouded in turning away from God, and much like Judah, we're not too far off from this problem. While we may not be building altars to ancient weather gods, it is part of our human condition to rely on our own judgment, something that could be extremely problematic. This is an issue God's people are facing in these verses. Although God has constantly provided for them, Judah becomes fixated on walking their own path. Jeremiah 32:33 says, "They have turned their backs to me, not their faces. Though I have taught them persistently, they would not listen and accept correction." As we find out later in this passage, though, God has a plan for his people that is so much better than what their iniquities are deserving of. Through Jeremiah, God says, "I will bring them back to this place, and I will settle them in safety. They shall be my people, and I will be their God." God promises hope. God shows mercy. There is ultimately a greater plan for Judah, and incidentally, a greater plan for all of us. In our own ways, we've all been like Judah, people whose trust comes from themselves, not from the one who created them. But God's promise to the people of Judah and to us is that there is goodness that lies beyond our understanding of anything. This goodness is found in the person of Jesus Christ. There is a wonderful goodness in his birth, life, death, and resurrection, a gift that restores all who receive it. Even though the people of Judah were not deserving of grace, God continued to love and provide for them. It's a loving provision that is available for us, something that we can have security and confidence in. As Paul articulates in his letter to the Ephesians, "But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." God mercifully loves us more than we could ever imagine. God just wants us to trust that he will always be with us.